Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo, and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. We have a guest scheduled today, Linda Alice Dewey, and we are trying to reach her. We don't know if she's stuck in traffic. She's back on the East Coast. So we're just going to be going ahead and sharing different things with you so that you can, well, as soon as we get her on the line, we're going to be putting her through, talking about the ghost who would not die. Yes, true story, true experience that Linda had. So we'll be going into that. One of the things I wanted to start out with today, because we're here in the Thanksgiving week, in just a few days, we're all going to be seating ourselves wherever we might be, whether it's with friends or with family or in our own homes, you know, however, or visiting other people. We're going to be sharing some time and some good food and some good environment with different individuals. Well, this is really great. And I love the feel of the season when the holidays start. There is just so much that goes on and so many good people involved in participating in life in so many different levels. So I came across some information about a mother whose son one day came up to her and said, "Do you know what I'd like for my birthday?" Now, our little boy's name is John. And she figured, what mother wouldn't, that naturally he was going to be asking for a toy. He was 6 years old. Wouldn't that be a normal response? Well, she was surprised because he didn't ask for a toy. His words were, "I want to help people." Well, it touched her so much. She was so surprised. Here's her six-year-old little boy making this statement, "I want to help people. That's what I want for my birthday." She said she knew her little boy. He had a big, big heart. But she knew also that he liked having fun. Most children are the same way. So she decided they needed to organize something, and he got excited about that. So what they did is that they put together a Bowl for Buck's birthday bash. A Bowl for Buck's birthday bash. Now, what happened is 6-year-old John invited about 20 of his friends, and for each spare or strike, they all went out bowling, they contributed $5 to a program that provides for homeless men. Do you know that the kids that participated in this raised $200, and her son John raised an additional $270, all of this in lieu of wanting regular presents? Now, what they did, they sent the money to Cincinnati City Gospel Mission, along with a picture of all the kids. And the mission then invited her son John to meet their staff and residents. She said, "Now that is a birthday gift my 6-year-old son is not going to forget very easily." And I thought, wow, what a great thing to do. This is just incredible. Now, here is something from Rosie Schnapp, who is an editor of a major magazine. She said, "Fall is a time to get things done, and it's also a good time to think about volunteer commitment. Many times, there are so many of us that have wanted to do something as a volunteer, but we go, well, I just don't know what's out there. We get a little timid about perhaps doing it. Well, maybe there's a drive at a local church you'd like to be involved with, or maybe there's a literacy program at the library, and maybe you'd want to help out at an animal shelter. There's just hundreds and hundreds of opportunities. But sometimes, again, it's not easy to figure out where to volunteer." Now, Rosie found that a friend that was having a nice conversation with her, they were enjoying some time together, made a comment, "I've always wanted to volunteer, but I just don't know what I want to get into, other than I love anything that's associated with environmental issues." So what she did, Rosie knew about a nonprofit organization called Volunteer Match. And what they do, they dedicate themselves to matching people with opportunities in their area and connecting them with causes they feel passionate about. Now, this is how, if you're interested in doing something along these lines, you can do the same thing. You can go in to www.volunteermatch.org, volunteermatch.org, and this is what you do when you're on the site. You enter your zip code, you indicate how far you're willing to travel to volunteer, and then click on an area of interest that you have. Rosie said she doesn't know where her friend is going to end up doing some volunteer work, but she can hardly wait until she finds out about what it will be. And I thought, what a wonderful bit of information to be able to share. How many times do we want something that's convenient? We don't want to drive a long way. Even though gasoline prices have come down, a lot of us have started evaluating our time. And if you spend a lot of time driving, that's not really going to serve your interests best and maybe make you unhappy with being a volunteer. So if you have something maybe in your own neighborhood, so go to volunteermatch.org. And I thought that was, both of those components of information were really great. And I thought that you would enjoy knowing about them. Now, this is Donna Sebo. My guest, Linda Alice Dewey, we're waiting for her to return our call. Her book is The Ghost Who Would Not Die. And if she should not be able to call in for whatever reasons, you know, back on the East Coast, they have different circumstances and weather, etc. So if she's not able to make it, then those phone lines are going to be open. You'll be able to call me. But we'll give that number out in a little bit. I also wanted to make a comment about Casey Treat. And Casey had an attitude comment that I liked. Your attitude will take you up or take you down. So the question is, what are you thinking? What are you thinking? Do you know we have a gazillion thoughts that go through our minds? Have you ever noticed how your mind can suddenly, you'll be in a situation and you'll have all kinds of what I call mind talk that goes on. And some people would call it monkey talk. And it could range anything from positive to negative. And it's amazing when you just watch that. What are you thinking? What's going through your head? Well, it can be everything to this person's a jerk to thinking something that could be wonderfully positive. Gee, I'm so glad I'm with a nice group of people. You just don't know what's going to happen. And the thoughts that we have in our heads really determine our emotional patterning. And when they do biofeedback testing with people and when you are in various classes, you'll find that when you're consciously present with wherever you are in a moment, and you just watch this mind chatter, people that have done meditation for years will tell you, they have to deal with this all the time. So they don't fight it, but they observe it. Where did these thoughts come from? Many times, believe it or not, you can pick up thoughts of an environment that you might find yourself in. They can be thoughts of fear, thoughts of lack, thoughts of I can't, I mean, all kinds of stuff. But when you realize and you watch these thoughts go across your mind's movie screen, you can also say to yourself, I think I'm going to get out my channel selector. I think I'm going to turn off some of this stuff and turn on what I really want. And it really means that you take time right at that moment. You take time to use your own personal thought selector. That's right, just like a channel selector for your television, you use your own thought selector. So when you do that, you're going to come out ahead. And it's so easy to get caught up with people's comments. They'll say, oh my goodness, the holiday season's the worst time in the world. Why? Maybe you had a bad experience one year. Maybe someone had a bad experience. Well, you have a choice. You have a choice. So what are you going to do with it? Where are you going to put your choices? Are you going to accept the fact that you can be the boss mind of your space? If you can do that, then you are going to find yourself having a much richer life, as well as knowing that you're in charge of your own space with your own boss mind. This is Donna Sebo, and I'm afraid that Linda Dewey is not going to be able to make the show this afternoon, and because of that, we're opening up telephone lines. Telephone lines are, if you would like to call in and let me light up your life with a little bit of insight, 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. Or you can also call 888-815-9756. If you're in Canada, 888-815-9756. Well, let's talk about money for a little bit. That's a subject we all like. I think so. Money is a form of exchange. I'm so grateful we don't have to deal with cows or kangaroos in the barter system, because actually that's what money is. Money is a form of barter. And it's so convenient because you carry it readily and easily. And credit cards are the same thing. But again, when you're dealing with money, we have so much that's flying across the waves of communication talking about lack. Well, there are times in our lives when we go through ups and downs. I've known extreme lack in my life. I've also known abundance. And it's all relative to the individual. What one person may see as lack may be someone else's abundance. What may be abundance to one person may be seen as a lack by the other. So it's all perception, isn't it? So what I would say to you is wherever you are in this moment, one, be very grateful for what you have and be able to appreciate it. And you may say, well, that's something that's true, but I want more. Well, that's great, but there's a lot of us at different times in our lives that have had to really pull in that financial belt for whatever reason. Maybe we've lost a job. Maybe we have had someone in our family pass away that contributed to our well-being. And so consequently, we had a financial lack. Maybe there was a war that occurred. Maybe we lived in a country that the economic structure just totally collapsed. Maybe. There's all kinds of situations that can happen with us. Well, we have a lady, Mary Hunt, who loves to tell people how they can save some money, what they can do to make a difference. So I just thought I would share a few of her thoughts. And a lot of them are just good common sense. They're nothing new. But I think when tough times hit, and they can hit any of us at any time, one, again, we're right here in Thanksgiving week, and I think, again, I'm repeating myself, I know, but being grateful is important. Being grateful for the small things. There's a lot you can be grateful for, but you're the only one that can know what's good in your life and what you should be grateful for in your personal experience. But she likes to title herself as a cheapskate. And, of course, that sort of conveys an image of a secondhand rose. I love Barbara Streisand's depiction of secondhand rose. I happened to see a film on a show that she did about secondhand rose. And, man, she just did such a wonderful job. She's always been one of my favorite singers. But the idea of secondhand rose just followed right in with this. However, these are some tips that can come in handy. Try to keep track of your spending. Really get down to your basic essentials. One is shelter, the other is food, and you can do some shifts and changes and still have good food on the table, but you need to keep track of what you spend your money on. And if you have any retirement funds, for heaven's sakes, even though you're going through tough times, don't touch them. Leave them alone, because you're going to have penalties, tax penalties, that are just going to be absolutely incredible. So don't come from a point of fear. Come from a point of, what can I do with where I am right here, right now? Then you want to be able to pull back. Sometimes people have had a real good time. Maybe they've lost their job because there's a lot of cutbacks that have been going on. And maybe they have been paying extra on their mortgage every month. Well, what you want to do is maybe pull back, as Mary says, so that you're paying a lesser, pay your actual amount, obviously, for your mortgage. And then if you've got credit card bills or anything else, look at what you need to take care of to get rid of. And just pull back, but also see if you can negotiate with your credit card companies. Now, this is very interesting because I have had experiences with talking with people, and I tried this out myself. Many times, if you'll call your credit card company, if you have a good rating with them, and ask them to lower the credit card interest rate, and just ask them to do it. Many times, if you've got a good rating with them, they will do it. And sometimes it's been lowered, in my experience, as much as 5 points. So you need to be aware of that. Also, you have to be aware of with credit card companies, they're sending out notices, many of them, where they are raising interest rates, whether you have been a good customer or not. They're just raising the interest rates. And I know of people that are paying rates 26%. Don't want to go there, folks. And put your credit cards away. Don't use them. Don't charge with them unless you do something like we do. And my husband and I decided that we were going to use our credit cards because we wanted to keep accurate records on everything. And then at the end of the month, you pay them off. You just pay them off so you don't have any interest. But whatever your circumstances are, you work with it accordingly. And she said, put 10% aside. 10%. It's a tithing. Now, there's a woman that I knew years ago that opened up a bank account. She said that was her tithing account. And she said she did that for a number of years. 10% of everything she made went into that account right off the top. That was just her tithe. And what she was able to do with it after a few years, she was able to take that money and invest in real estate, and her return was just phenomenal. But she was absolutely religious about tithing the money, so she opened the bank account, and she put that in as her tithe. Other people may have a church or a charity or an organization, whichever you want to do, but technically you want to be able to pay yourself first. And then when you're shopping, Mary says, be sure that you list what it is that you need. She said without a list, you're going to end up spending and you're going to binge, and you're going to be surprised at how much extra money that you are spending on food. So plan your meals around what's on sale. So check those sales lists that come out. And believe it or not, your grocery stores are very much aware when economic hard times hit. And I'll tell you why. It was a few years ago, because we are in the Seattle area, Boeing had a major cutback. This was a few years ago. It was a very serious, major layoff time. I was in my local grocery store, and I was amazed to find out that they had changed displays in their store, and they were featuring spaghetti on sale, tomato sauce, things that I hadn't seen focused on for quite a while. And it was sort of slow, and I know some of the clerks at the store, and I was just having a conversation with one of them, and they said, well, you know, when we heard about this Boeing strike, the first thing we see is people do not spend their money on luxury foods, your high-end foods, foods that might be in the deli. She said, our deli business went flat. So what we've done, she said, we have done this, and we shift. She said, we pay attention to the news. We have to, because our consumers, if they don't have the cash, will not buy those high-end foods. So it was quite a lesson for me. Believe it or not, those sales many times are put on for the purpose not just of moving inventory. In fact, you'll often find when economic hard times hit, a lot of your exclusive foods will be put on sale so that they can be turned rather quickly. But I just wanted to share that with you because that happened here in the Pacific Northwest. Also, you can go to a website, Mary says. It's mygroceryDeals.com. MygroceryDeals.com. It's a free site. It posts all the major market flyers, and it has a list-making option, too. Also, check out your local farmers' markets. They're often cheaper because you're dealing directly with growers, and you will find that certain stores will have great savings. And you can just check out also angelfoodministries.com. They partner with churches and organizations in the United States to help distribute food to those in need. And for $30, a person can receive a box of top-quality food containing fresh and frozen items. So if you wanted to donate something, what if you wanted to gift somebody? You could do that. Go to angelfoodministries.com. Don't eat out so much. If you're really trying to conserve dollars, you could easily spend $50 or $60 on a meal. And if your family's going through tight times, what do? cook it at home. Get the family involved in it, especially if you have kids. Ask them to help you plan your menus. You may find that it's going to be doing them a favor because they get involved with the cooking and preparation, and that is something that helps them as they're growing up, becoming adults, and living their own lives. Teach them about food and shopping. Things like this are good. Get back in the kitchen. You've got all kinds of wonderful, wonderful websites for food that you can check out. Also, check out your utilities. Utilities offer level pay plans if you want, instead of having your bills fluctuating every month, they will be set at a fixed amount. So you know they can tell you what you generally spend annually, and they can make it on a monthly basis. Then once a year, the company will make an adjustment based on actual usage, and it's good to know exactly what you're going to be having every month instead of guessing about it. Also, if you are having a challenge with phone costs, I was on the phone with someone day before yesterday that said that they had gotten a phone bill, and they said, gee whiz, I'm doing something different. I'm only using a cell phone that I give so much money out to, and then I know that's exactly what I'm allowed to spend each month, so they're covering it that way. Someone else might use a phone card. Check your special warehouse clubs. They have them, and they're a great deal. For long distance, it's great. For local long distance calling, if you have something that's charging you 14 cents or more a minute, then just go and check it out. Now, some people may not have that at all. And you can, through any of these warehouse clubs, get these cards, and it's about 2.9 cents a minute when you buy them. And thermostat saves energy. You can turn your thermostat, making it cooler, a little bit cooler. It doesn't have to be like 10 degrees cooler, but you can make it like 2 degrees or 3 degrees. And your adaptation is great. People do that, and it can make a difference in your energy cost. You won't notice that much of a difference in temperature, but you will see a difference in your bill. And as Mary said, she's learned over the years that people use tough times to learn new things, reexamine priorities, and build themselves up so they'll be ready for the upturn. And anyone I've ever spoken to that's gone through tough times, they don't jump up and down with joy over having the experience, but invariably, if they have been astute, they have learned. They've learned how to work with money. They've learned how to shop. They learn not to whine or cry, but they also find out about a lot of things that they can enjoy that are freebies. There are many communities, for example, if you love concerts, there's a lot of free concerts around. Go check out with your local library about various events. Many times communities have special ceremonies and all kinds of activities that go on. And if you want to participate in something, I know here in Seattle we have so many wonderful, wonderful activities and events. And you can take your family and you put yourself on a budget. You can say, this is what we have to spend. And become imaginative. How can we do this? I know when my husband and I were first married, goodness, sometimes there were days we only had $5 between the two of us. And we'd say, where do we want to go? What do we want to do? How can we do it? And we made a game out of it, and we had a lot of fun. And especially with the holidays coming up, there's so much beauty that you can see and observe no matter where you are. And if you'll just delight in that, you don't have to spend a fortune, and you don't have to feel like you're deprived. But you can have a lot of fun, and your imagination can take you to places you never ever thought you could ever go to. Donna Sebo here. My guest, Linda Dewey, is not able to make the broadcast today, and we'll try to book her in later on. But regardless, you know, things do come up, but hey, those phone lines are open. So give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, and let me light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. Canadians, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. I have a recipe here for a warm rum raisin cider. I don't know what it's like where you are, but here in the Pacific Northwest, our temps are dropping. And once in a while, we like to have friends over, and this is something that you could have. It's just really flavorful that I think you will enjoy. But it's up to you, and of course, it's real simple to make. It just really takes the chill off. If you're not a person that enjoys the flavor of rum, that may be something you might want to substitute with something else, but I'll leave that for you to figure out. This is the recipe. It's a tablespoon of butter, a teaspoon of sugar, a half a cup of golden raisins, six whole cloves, two cinnamon sticks, six cups of fresh apple cider, 12 ounces of dark rum, If you like, you can have real thinly sliced apples for a garnish, and then cinnamon sticks make a wonderful garnish as well. Oh, they just really add flavor, too. And let me make a suggestion. If you wanted to not have the rum, try cranberry juice. This is something that would really, really be good. In a large saucepan, you heat butter over medium heat, add your sugar, your raisins, cloves, and cinnamon sticks, and you, you know, cook it, stirring until the sugar caramelizes for you. That's about 5 minutes. And then you remove from the heat, stir in your cider, return it to the heat, and bring it to a simmer stirring. And then, of course, you would add your rum at the last minute, and then ladle it into your cups, and then garnish the drink with an apple slice or a cinnamon stick. And it serves about six people. Or, if you like, if you don't want the rum, then you might want to substitute cranberry juice. It's just a different flavor, and it really goes nicely with raisins. Or, if you wanted, you could use cran raisins instead of regular raisins. So, dependent on what your taste buds enjoy, that is just a tip for you. Also, I had someone make a suggestion to me that I thought was just fabulous for Thanksgiving. If you're having a nice crowd and you would love to have photos of the people there, have a basket of disposable cameras handy. You know, there are people always as guests that love to take pictures. Let them walk around taking the pictures. If you're the host or hostess, you're going to be so busy just taking care of food and everything else. You're not going to have time to take pictures. I know when I'm hosting something, that's the last thing I'm concerned about. So if you have those disposable cameras, ask your guests to click them, and you'll just have a wonderful array of them, and make sure then that you have them reproduced, and you can email them then to all the friends that attend your party. A girlfriend of mine did this at a birthday party for a family member, and she said she got such fabulous photographs because there were people just having a wonderful time. They go and pick up a camera and go around and take pictures, and she said it was just a great way to get a record of the event. Also, if you wanted to start a new tradition, you'd make place cards by folding unlined index cards in half and writing each guest name on with a beautiful script. Use a little bit of calligraphy. And think of a quality you admire about each person and write it on his or her card. And then have fun when the guests read that aloud. Or you can do what I did at one of my classes where we had a luncheon. And this friend of mine, she went and we put cards. Every card had something different. So people, when they sat down, they had more fun. She took the cards and put a word or two on the card that was very positive, very upbeat. And she put it on there with a beautiful little rhinestone, and the material, the paper, was just as pretty as it could be. And I can tell you, people had more fun with that because it just absolutely made their day. They said, wow, I picked this seat, and look at what I've got. So it's a great way to stimulate conversation. It really, really works. So I really like that suggestion. Well, I know we're going to be taking a break in a little while. Telephone lines are open. My guest was not able to make the show this afternoon. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227 and 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Oh, and another suggestion I want to make. If you're like me and you always have lots of goodies, plan on sending care packages for people home with them. Sometimes we have single people that are in our home, and often these individuals don't do a lot of cooking for themselves. So when you can get send care packages home, all those fattening goodies that you know you want to eat on the holiday, that's wonderful. You have your serving then, but if you don't want temptation in the house, ask for volunteers to take the stuff home, and in that way you may not even have to have much in the way of leftovers either. You'd be surprised at how many people enjoy that. So that's a good way to make sure that you don't have any of those extra fattening goodies staying around the house. That has worked for me for many, many years. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to be taking a break, and when we come back, like I said, phone lines are open, and I'd be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227, or 888-815-9756. 888-815-9756. We'll be right back.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to TTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, TTAP.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's TTAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717, TTAP.com.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Donna Sebo, give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Also, we have a direct line of 530-876-3222. That's 530-876-3222. I wanted to share some information, some health information today, because there are situations and conditions that women go through physically that often they don't know that they have options to work with. And I found out this information about uterine fibroids. And this is fairly common among women. And typically when they go in for treatment and they're non-cancerous growths, but oh, they can be so painful, just terribly, terribly painful. Frequently, hysterectomies are recommended. And there is a physician, Michael Broder, he said, removing the uterus is often recommended as the first line of defense. But he says there are some other options women need to know about. In fact, about 60% of all hysterectomies are for uterine fibroids. And the surgery, that takes care of it. However, women that may want to have children, or they just, it's very distressful for them to be cut up. They don't want to go that route. They need to know about some other options. And one that is considered to be very, very good is uterine fibroid artery embolization. And that's called UAE. Now, what they do, there's a radiologist that threads a catheter through the groin and into the blood vessels going into the uterus, and then tiny plugs block the blood supply and the fibroids shrivel up. And they say the reason that it might be better than having a hysterectomy is that this reduces heavy bleeding, pain, and pressure in about 90% of the women that they use this procedure on. Now, there's been studies done at UCLA and Thomas Jefferson University, and the women that have this procedure typically have less pain on average the day after the procedure than those that undergo hysterectomy and a laparoscopic procedure. They have a shorter stay in the hospital, 4 days or less, compared with 6 for a hysterectomy or, you know, a laparoscopic procedure. And they return to work quicker, about 20 days versus 62 days after a hysterectomy. Now, the question was, if this is so beneficial, how is it that so few women are made aware of it? Well, apparently, there have been what they call turf wars. And it's been between medical specialists and uneven insurance coverage. And there are experts that have talked about it, and they say gynecological surgeons feel like they're giving their business away to radiologists if they suggest a UAE over a hysterectomy. And this comes as a quote from Francis Hutchins, who is a physician. He's an adjunct professor of obstetrics and gynecology at Drexel University. And he's done a lot of publishing on studies relating to the UAE. And the numbers, he says, illustrate the divide. In an unpublished pharmacological study of surgically treated fibroid sufferers, 83% had a hysterectomy, 15% had the laparoscopic procedure done, and 2% had the UAE. Now, when you are able to do this, you need to talk to your physician about it. And they said the pro for this is, initially, it's a faster recovery time, there's less pain compared to the other procedures, and 90% of the time, it is very, very effective. 20 to 30% of women will need another treatment like this if this returns, and then you're not going to miss all that much of work, even if you have that done. So I wanted to share that because I think, as with all things, when you are able to be informed, when you are aware that you have options, it really does make a difference. So that's just a little information for you gals out there. You may have a friend that's going through some particular problems. Have them check out that UAE procedure. Are you a green person? Are you a person that is becoming more and more conscious about what you're using, what you're doing? And if you're in business, there are things that you are going to want to be aware of because you feel that it's important. You want to make a difference. So how can you do this? And what are the procedures? Well, I came across some material regarding shifting into what you would call green thinking. And if you are interested in doing something with a business, here are 10 questions that you really should consider. What are your reasons for wanting to go green? Are there any market factors that are involved with this, plus or minus? How does being green integrate with your business plan? How does being green give you a competitive edge? Am I starting a new green business, or am I running an existing business that wants to slowly move towards being green? Do I want to be 100% green, or are there areas in which I will not be green? In any area where I cannot go green, how can I offset my consumption? Do I want to have my business certified as being green? Are there any green groups in my area, or should I start one? When choosing to purchase products and services, how do I qualify them as being green? These are all really, really good questions. And you can go to a website if this is something you would like to explore. It's called startupnation.com, startupnation.com. And I think there's more and more of an attitude of what can I do, what can I learn that enables me to go green. There are many different aspects in business where Going green may not always be possible. In printing, some of the inks that are used cannot be what would be classified as green inks because they don't hold up, they don't do the job. But what that does, that spurs innovation. It spurs development because there are always those people out that are going to ask the question, how can we make it green? What can we do? And I'm hoping to have as an interview a woman that did this with bamboo, and she's here in the Seattle area. And I've got an email into her, and I'm hoping to have her as a guest in the near future because these are things that she had to work through. And she's done a lot of research, and she's all involved with bamboo. So I'm, again, this is a different type of thought. And it is a cutting-edge type of thought. Necessity is the mother of invention. That quote has been used many, many times. And it is very important to be aware that that is a catalyst. Usually without a need, we'll go and we'll coast along comfortably. It's sort of like dieting. You don't really maybe want to put the time, effort, or energy into taking care of yourself, but those are things that you need to do. So all of that being said, just be aware that this is an ongoing process. If you are in business, there may be some aspects that you're going to be able to do that are quote-unquote green, and then others that may have to wait a while because we haven't evolved to that point where we have a good substitute. Now, if you want to become a green business, you need to be aware of certain things, and I can share that with you in the moment. But anyways, let's go to our first caller of the day. Welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling from?
Donna. Hi.
Hi, Donna. Where are you calling from?
Well, actually, this is Linda Alice Dewey.
Linda!
Yes.
You
I so apologize.
It. Oh, my goodness. Oh,
yes,
my goodness.
Messages crossed, and I apologize.
Well, your apology is accepted. Okay. Well, this is terrific. Let's chat about your book. We're not going to have as much time today.
Right.
But I wanted to be able to address it because it was an intriguing book.
Oh, thank you.
Now, Linda, you're a woman that has a bit of a background with writing. You have been involved with metaphysics, and I've talked with you on the air before.
Right.
And you got this story here, and I thought, the ghost would not die. Okay. You've talked about spooks before, and that's my term. And you've written so well about them, and when I got into this book, I started to think, this is a whole different twist here.
Yes, it is.
How in the world did you know that you were to write this story, and how did you become acquainted with this particular personality? Give us the background on that.
Well, you know, it all spells it out in the book, but this ghost, Aaron's Crossing, was my first book, when I was unpublished, I did not have a publisher, so I sent my book out to friends, 25 of them, and relatives asking for an honest critique. Shortly thereafter, my son and I were living where I live now in northern Michigan, began having activity in the house, which I attributed to, believe it or not, with all my experience with Aaron and ghosts, attributed it to house noises, you know, and I didn't think twice about it until one night when my son was here by himself, and he was about 16 or 17, and he was he saw a shadow and it had glanced at it, shadow like against the wall, but it wasn't his shadow. It was a three-dimensional shape. And he did a double take, and it was still there. And that's when that started. So that was my, and then I knew from writing Aaron's Crossing how to listen telepathically for if they have something to say. So I went to my computer and said a prayer to be clear so I could get my own thoughts out of the way and listened, and I took down three pages of the story of this runaway slave with a twisted foot, and his name was Jacobs with an S, and he talked about himself and how much he needed my help, and that there were others that needed my help too. And then the next day, he was the first one I ever crossed over all by myself.
All right, dear, I'm going to stop you right there because
yep.
we need to go on a break.
Yep.
And when we come back, then we'll continue with more. This is Donna Sebo. Linda Dewey was able to join us after all, and so we're going to be giving you a real brief rundown on this fascinating story that is a true life. It's really compelling, and it's something that would leave you with a lot of curiosity. So we'll be back. The Ghost Who Would Not Die, Linda Dewey. We'll be right back.
Enter the magical world of God's Kiss.
Johnny finds himself at the entrance to a large open valley, framed by high mountains rich in the brown red colors of the earth. He stands in awe, even a little fearful of the mountain's great size. After all, he's just a little boy and not very tall.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling, and the author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com. That 800 number again, 872-8852.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Before we go back to Linda, I want to remind those of you in the Western Washington area, I'm going to be doing an appearance at the Dickens Festival at Stadium on December the 13th. I will be at the King's Bookstore from 11 to 4. This is a wonderful, wonderful family event. You're not going to want to miss it. Also, Teresa Tapp is going to be on this Thursday. We have got a special offer where you are going to be able to get a gift worth over $100. Three people will be able to qualify for this. And so we are going to give you more information about that on the 26th. That's right. It's absolutely wonderful, and it is going to be this Wednesday. So be sure that you tell your friends, tune in, and just know you're going to be able to get this wonderful, wonderful value. And we're going to go back to Linda Dewey right now. Linda, Jacobs was intriguing to me in that when he was communicating with you and you were putting this story down, there's so much to the tale, and again, we only have a short period of time here to be able to discuss it. But he talks about over where he was on the other side. They don't rely on brain cells to keep track of what happened. They've got another system of remembering on this side.
Mm-hmm.
Quoting from your book, I don't know how it works, but it sure is different from when you're living. We can remember every little detail, zoom in and zoom out, and speed things up and slow them down. We can play them over and over and skip ahead if we want, which is what we're going to do right now, seeing as how I've got so much to say and time's a-wasting. At least it is for you all. Over here, well, time just ain't the same. Let's just leave it at that. Now, was this in the 1700s that he passed?
Well, first of all, he was a runaway slave during the Civil War. So that brings it up 100 years. And I would imagine that his death, he was a transient. He lived in a shanty town outside of Cleveland when he died. And I would imagine it was 1885 or so when he died.
Okay. Okay. So we've got a time frame for him then.
Right.
Why do you think he chose you? Was it because that you were a person that was receptive to it? Did he actually live in the area you were in? What made him decide to use you as a communicator?
Well, as the book says, he was down south in North Carolina, And at that point, he was in hospitals, actually trying to help people in hospitals. He had found out a way where he could communicate with people and influence their thoughts, and decided he wanted to do that for the good. I have a friend who works in a hospital there, and he kind of took to her and tried to cheer her up sometimes, and just liked the way she did things. And one time he followed her home, and she and I were talking on the phone, and he said that you can hear people on the telephone, and he could hear actually my talking and then hers, and we were talking about my book, Aaron's Crossing. This was in 2003, before it was even out.
And he talks about the shadows, which is what he was called, and the clearies,
yes,
which he called the others.
Right.
Tell my audience, they haven't read the book like I have, tell mm-hmm. them about the shadows and the clearies.
Okay. There are different types of ghosts, and these are two classifications. People that are in paranormal societies can tell you that there are shadows, ghosts that show up like he did as a shadow, where you can actually see the darkness around him. And he, from the inside, looked through darkness at everything, so everything was very dark. A query, and he said, they said the negativity, I didn't know anything about this, it was just what he told me, and I took it down. The negativity of a person, a person's negativity becomes visible when they pass on, for some people. I've had a friend tell me that it's actually blocked chakras, and it's keeping this energy out. And it just needs, it's stuff that we need to not deny, and we need to accept about ourselves. The clearies are those who are closer to being able to go, to cross over.
All right. Now, one of the things that was very important to him is that he had to straighten some things out. That's one of the reasons why he wanted to tell his story. Because when you think of the program Ghost Whisperer, that has been so very popular, and this
right.
is a young lady that is always helping people who died, who have not wanted to move towards the light. That's how it's described in the show.
Mm-hmm.
She helps them to make that connection. And
mm-hmm.
you felt you did the same thing with Jacob.
I tell you, Donna, I was just in my car, which is why I was late. The weather's terrible here, right? Well, you know, it's snowing and slushy and raining and doing all kinds of things right now in Michigan. In my car, they'll come to me, and I'll feel my scalp prickling and help them cross over. So it's something that now I do outside of my home. I won't do it in my home, but as a matter of course, when I'm out and about, I do it all the time now. They're attracted to people who... They're desperate for help.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And when they know someone can connect or can see, they're, to be acknowledged that they exist by someone who's living is a miracle in itself for them on that side.
Well, I know in the Tibetan culture, in among the lamas, that was something that they were trained to do, was to work with those people that they called the wanderers. At least that was my understanding of it, and they would try to help them do exactly what you're talking about.
Huh.
So this is something that has existed in different cultures throughout the world with those that had the understanding, but you came through it in a different way, and you have an understanding now, and you're very much involved with it. And I know we're close to being out of time, Linda.
Yes,
your book is titled The Ghost Who Would Not Die. It's about a runaway slave. There is a murder story inside of it. There's unique hauntings. And this is all as you experienced it, and as he dictated
mm-hmm.
his information to you. So it is a flavor of a time that not many people today would even recognize in many respects. But I think it has some historical perspectives to it that are quite interesting.
I've had people who are historians tell me that it absolutely stands up historically. And for people who are interested in history, interested in that period of our history, interested in the perspective of history from a slave's standpoint, this stands up to all of them as far as accuracy goes, yes.
Linda, I know we are just about out of time. Quickly, do you have a website? Very fast.
Thank you. Linda Alice Dewey, D-E-W-E-Y, .com.
Thank you, Linda. I so
appreciate
your being able to get through. This is Donna Siebel. We are out of time. Remember, always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. This is a great day to be alive. Give thanks for your blessings and rev up for more. We'll be here same time, same place tomorrow. We'll be talking about small pleasures. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Siebel Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Siebel Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.